I wouldn't call this preaching, I don't believe. I will share what I believe God has given to me. And if you have an imagination, maybe you can imagine some real preacher up here going around, because for the most part, I will read what God put on my heart, so it won't be what you guys are used to. But I hope it blesses you, and we'll give God all the glory. So let's pray. Father in heaven, just want to stop, certainly before I start, and recognize my utter dependence on you, Lord. And Father, you know my heart, and you know in my flesh, I certainly don't want to be here, but I want to be obedient to you, and trust you, and I do praise you, my Lord and King, for your faithfulness to do what I can't do. And Lord, to count it a privilege, Lord, to just be used of you. And so, Father, I pray that whatever I say, Lord, would be from you. Please help me, Lord, not to say anything that wouldn't be pleasing to you. And I just pray that you please guard me, Lord. And I pray that that you, again, would be glorified tonight. In the beautiful name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, so don't turn me up too much, though, although I promised I would not give the sound guys a hard time. Because that's somebody else's job. The title that I felt was correct for tonight is "What Could Have Been," and something that you don't want to get to a point and say, "Man, what could have been?" I don't know. I'm sure we all have times in our life where you look back and you go, "Wow, if I'd only done this, what could have been?" I'll share one simple one with you. Maybe it's dumb, but I played Pop Warner football from, I think it was sixth grade or somewhere in there, up to through the ninth grade, and then went to high school and thought, okay, I've got 4 years of Pop Warner experience, and a lot of the high school guys, man, it's their first time, so I'm going to be able to do well. Well, in high school football, like maybe many of you know, you need to go to practice during the summertime. And for me, summer was some time that I wanted to have fun. And so I thought, well, I won't do that, and they'll still let me join, certainly, because I've got all this experience, right? So when it came time to join the football team in my freshman year, the coach said, "Sorry, you're out." And I'm like, "No, no way." And so even to this day, it's like, oh, I really loved playing football. I had 4 years of football, and because I chose to have fun instead, I was out, and that was it. And so I went into wrestling instead, which I hated wrestling, but I had to do something. So anyhow, that's my what could have been story. But the other part of it that I, and tell me if I need to do anything, guys, because I don't know the language. The other part of it is live today for a thankful tomorrow. And so the verse that came to me was James 1:22-25. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So with that, first I want to thank everybody who did pray for me, because I did feel the prayers. That's not very often that's happened to me. I don't know about you guys, but it's not very often that you have people praying for you. I can honestly say that I felt the prayers. And I asked God that I would be able to honor him and trust in him. And that's hard to do. It's hard to do and to not be careful or be anxious for anything but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. You know, in the peace of God. And that's really what he blessed me with. So I really appreciate and thank the, everyone that, that did pray, because it worked. So the story is, I'll start with the story of when Pastor texted me to ask if I would be willing to fill in for him on this Wednesday night. And obviously I'm like, what? What are you kidding? That's what I'm saying to my text, but or to my phone. I'm seriously saying, come on, we have so many others here that can do a much better job than I. And I told him, I texted back and said, you must have meant this text to go to somebody else. But no, he said it was meant for me. So I asked, I said, certainly then you have a very detailed outline for me to use, right? And he responded in a very caring way and said, nope. So I texted my wife and said, honey, check this out. Pastor's asked me to to do it. And I was seeking, right, from my wife, somebody who would kind of go along with what I was feeling, you know, and be sensitive to that, right? And she says, oh, it's from the Lord, Greg. And I'm like, honey, that's not what I wanted you to hear, dear. You know, you're supposed to be a helpmeet, right? Just go along with my fears and feel sorry for me. Isn't that helping, right? It's like, no. So I turned to a good friend. Certainly my good friend would have compassion, the compassion I was seeking. Certainly he would understand how I was feeling and reinforce those fears. But nope. He told me, it's a privilege to teach the Word of God. Okay, he used to be a good friend. You know who you are. So here I am in a place where I must trust the Lord and his provision in order to have anything worthwhile to share. Truth is that I really felt totally inadequate, and therefore I began to agonize over it. It's not like I have a binder full of sermons that I can go back to and draw from, right? It's like, I don't have a one. So this is something that I will need to trust him for, totally. So as I went to the Lord and I asked him, maybe I should say I pled with him, I was convicted by the lack of faith that I had, really. I truly wanted to honor and please him. It's truly not about anything else. I mean, I love you guys, but honoring him is what mattered. What you might get out of it is between you and him, really. My goal is to just honor him. So he helped me to see that by trusting him and resting in him is how I could honor him. And so that's why I say I praise him, because for the most part, I've been, in fact, a couple nights ago, I was really excited about, you know, I was typing away and it was like, all right, this is really, really good. So I really felt that he blessed me with that, believing that he could even use someone like me to bring honor to himself. So whether or not you get something from tonight's message, I have always kind of felt is more about the heart of the listener than of the experience of the deliverer. Because it used to be in the times past where somebody would take the pastor's place, I mean, just like this one, and go, oh, well, you know, I don't want to go there, you know, right? And then it really convicted me, like, really? I mean, can't God use anybody? And really, it was convicting to me that my heart wasn't right. And so I truly believe that. And, of course, it helps me, and I'm thankful for that, because here I am in that spot instead of the other. But God is glorified when someone responds to a message and a life is changed in some way. That's the truth. Certainly for that one who gets saved. But what about us that are already redeemed and have become somewhat comfortable with our life the way it is until we go home? What about us? That's what's been on my heart lately and what I felt God may want me to share tonight. When God brought my family, I'll give you a little bit of history. Some of you heard it, but I'm obeying the pastor. And he said, hey, I want you to share why you came here. So I will do that. When God brought my family to this church almost 7 years ago, whew, getting old, huh? I was so thankful for the powerful Bible-based preaching that came from this pulpit from our pastor, and that I could receive that preaching 3 times a week. I was excited about that because I was only getting it one service over where I was. Then the great worshipful hymns that we sing. I love the worshipful hymns, and I love those that that have the beautiful gift from God to sing those songs. And lastly, I was really thankful for the opportunities that I have here to serve the Lord. I was so thankful to be able to go out with others in our community and invite people to church and have the opportunity to share the gospel. You can check with my wife. I was really excited about that and still am. I'm thankful for a church that takes serious the truth of God's word, especially in regards to the salvation of lost souls. I'm thankful for that. When I wanted to join the church, I, of course, was asked to give my testimony, which I was glad to share. I really hope everybody here is glad to share their testimony. Why? Because it's the greatest story ever told for you. It is the greatest story. Anyway, after giving my testimony, I was told I needed to be baptized. And that's when I said, huh? What do you mean? I've already been baptized. I already did all that. I've already been there. So I was a little put off, honestly, to be truthful with you. But once I took the time to understand the accountability our pastor has before God, and that he takes that accountability serious, I was thankful that we have a pastor like that. Because I think there's sometimes people might join the church, be baptized, and they may not even be saved. And that's a big responsibility for the pastor and a serious accountability. So as well, I was convinced that the Lord had brought us to this church, and now I was ready to obey and be baptized. And so that's almost 7 years ago. We truly have a great church that gives us everything we need to grow faithfully and serve our beautiful Savior. We have everything here to serve and to grow in His grace. With all that, we can take a look at the end of this life, right? And know that we will be satisfied with our devotion to what God has asked us to do for His glory, right? That's the problem. What's been troubling me as of late is that we can sit through some of the best preaching on a given Sunday, be convicted by the Spirit of God of something we need to change or begin doing or something, and then go into the next week living just the same that we did before. That's what's been troubling me. This goes on week after week and month after month, and before we know it, year after year. So do you answer the question at the end of the year when pastor says, hey, have you grown this year? Have you grown in the Lord this year? How do you answer that? Honestly, I struggle with that question because I don't necessarily have something that I can pinpoint and say, yeah, I've grown. I've grown in the Lord. And so I have to be honest. Pastor asked the question in a sermon a few weeks back, have you done your best? I don't remember the sermon, but I just remember him asking that question, have you done your best? And I went to him afterwards and I said, you know what? I really don't want to consider that because I think I know the question. I have not done my best. So therefore, maybe it's best if I just ignore it and lest I have to deal with it. So that's what's been troubling me. I told you I'm so thankful for the precious hymns we sing and our privilege to hear from our choir and the individuals that God has blessed with voices for His praise. These hymns were written by people with deep, heartfelt praise and adoration for a Savior they loved and they cherished. Oftentimes when I sing these hymns with everybody, with the beautiful and powerful words, I want them to be true in my life. But again, I have to be honest. Too often, that's not the case. But I want it to be. So I ask myself, what is it going to take to live my life today so that I am thankful tomorrow? To avoid getting to the end and looking back with regret and saying, what could have been? What is it going to take? So God brought me to my thinking these 3 points. I tried to do it correctly here. They're not going to match or they're not going to rhyme or anything like that. So give me a break, right? 3 points that challenged me as to why I might struggle with willingly giving Him all of my life. That I would be more excited about being with Him than the many other things that I choose on a week-to-week basis. That He would be my first love. And so the first one is, how big is your God? Because I felt like, you know, God is big. And yet, how big is He for you? The one who created all things and holds all things together wants me to know Him and wants to have fellowship with me through prayer. I get to talk with God. So do you. We get to talk with God. And He hears me. And I'm really thankful that He's not just a hearer, but a doer. Going back to our verses. It just might be that we have made God too small in our lives. What I mean to say is, why would we choose the things of this world over knowing God? It doesn't make any sense to me. Why would we give far more time and energy to temporal things over that of experiencing the eternal things of God Almighty? Is He not too small in your view as these other things take precedence over being with Him? I don't know about you, but I am often at a loss to find words that begin to describe the character of our God. whenever I talk about God, I say, oh, no, that's just not deep enough. That's not enough. You know, I just can't find words. He is far greater than any word can describe. So it's best, I think, if we look into his word for a glimpse of his greatness. And just a few verses, Psalm 145:3 says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. Psalm 139, talking about us. Our Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither thou shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. And Psalm 8, 3 and 4 says, when I consider the heavens and the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? We could go on and on with many verses, right, that just help us to get a glimpse of the greatness, the majesty of our God. His greatness, and it should help us to gain a better understanding of his majesty by reading that, if we take the time. I believe that we would all say that we agree with these truths from the Holy Bible, but how we choose to live our lives, well, that may tell a different story. Because what we say and what we do, they should be the same, somewhat. That is like deceiving your own self, if we go back to our verse. To say you believe something and live another way, you're deceiving yourself. I have to conclude, then, that we have erred in our understanding of God's greatness and beauty. Therefore, we don't appreciate what it means to have the undeserved privilege to come to him, to know him through the word, and to speak to him through prayer. If we really take the time to consider the greatness of God, his wonderful and beautiful creation that we get to enjoy, the fact that he created us in his image, and most amazingly, he redeemed us by sending his son, born of a virgin, God with us, willingly going to the cross to be crucified by those he was dying for, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures, all this, that by his rich grace we could freely have the righteousness of Christ so that we could be with him forever. That's how big our God and Father is. And he says to us, be still and know that I am God. Just wants us to come to him. Well, Paul didn't seem to have a problem with knowing the greater blessing. He knew that to know Christ, well, that far exceeded anything this world could ever offer. So in Philippians 3, 7 and 8, it says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. I like the analogy that Paul used in comparing all things to knowing Christ. Dung. That's a perfect analogy, right? In other words, there is no comparison. He got it. Paul had the correct value on knowing Christ. What is it to us? I'm going to include myself every time. What do we value over knowing him? That's just a question to ask. And so how did Paul get it? That leads me to my second point. By the way, pastor said, hey, if you go 10 minutes, you go 10 minutes. If you go, I won't go too long. I'm on my second point already, and there's only three. Second point is, how much of a sinner were you before you were saved? How bad were you? It appears as though Paul had a better appreciation of what he was saved from, what he was without Christ. You know, we say a person needs to understand their need before they can be saved, right? We got to get them. Yeah, we got to get them lost. They need to know they're a sinner. They need that they have offended a righteous and holy God, and the penalty of those sins is death, separation from God forever in a place called hell. Maybe we don't think we were all that bad before we were saved, and therefore our appreciation, which brings devotion, is missing. Well, this is like forgetting what manner of man he was. Back again into our verse. Maybe we forget where we came from. I read a little of John Newton's testament this last week in Sunday school, so you guys will have to hear it again. I think he had a better understanding of what he had been saved from, and therefore had a much more devoted life. So a portion of his testament read, "I commit my soul to my gracious God and Savior, who mercifully spared and preserved me when I was an apostate, a blasphemer, and an infidel, and delivered me from that state into which my obstinate wickedness had plunged me, and who has been pleased to admit me, though most unworthy, to preach his glorious gospel. I rely with humble confidence upon the atonement, the mediation of the Lord Jesus Christ, God and man, which I have often proposed to others as the only foundation whereupon a sinner can build his hope, trusting that he will guard and guide me through the uncertain remainder of my life, and that he will then admit me into his presence in his heavenly kingdom." Is that how you feel about where you came from and what he's done for you? On his tombstone are these words: "John Newton, clerk, once an infidel and a libertine, a servant of slaves in Africa, was, by the rich mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, preserved, restored, pardoned, and appointed to preach the faith he had long labored to destroy." Now, lest you think that you are somehow better than John Newton, think again. Before we were washed in the blood of our Savior, we were all in the same camp, enemies of God. Romans 5:10 says, "For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." And Colossians 1:21 says, "And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled." We were enemies of God. We're no better. We should have that same appreciation. John Newton appreciated his salvation because he understood that though he was an enemy of God, Christ died for his sins. Do you think you understand the depth of your sin? The depth that your sin was before a holy God? What manner of man you were? Isaiah 64:6 says, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." I just wonder if maybe we think we weren't all that bad. I know when the wonderful and faithful folks who came to my house to share the gospel asked me if I thought I was going to heaven, well, my answer was yes. I thought I was a pretty good guy. Now they took the time to show me from the Bible that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But I wonder if we really need to get a better perspective, God's perspective, that's really the only one that matters, of what our merciful God rescued us from. How filthy we really were, and how rotten our hearts really were, dead and voluntarily on our way to hell. It was our choice. Let's have a proper perspective that we may better appreciate what God has saved us from. That was the other thing that he brought to me. Like, why? What is it? Maybe this would cause us to be doers and not just hearers. Also made me think, remember the woman in Luke 7 who was a sinner? Just said she was a sinner. She stood at his feet behind him weeping, began to wash his feet with tears, did wipe them with her hair, kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. And Jesus said to the Pharisee, she loved much. So are you like the woman or the Pharisee in regards to your thankfulness to a Savior? Point three, already, the blessings. So that verse ended in blessings. When we're doers of God's word, there's blessings. If we just go on hearing and it doesn't result in any change, we will miss the blessings that God desires for us to have. That's the reason for the title of this message. As I mentioned earlier, if we get to the end of and never having done anything with the word of God, we may look back with regret and consider what could have been. Years ago, a verse became very special to me because it helped me to consider that time in the future when my Lord will call me home and what will be important to me at that time. I don't know, it's really become the one that I seem to look to the most, so maybe a life verse, I guess. Hebrews 12, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Get rid of it. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. In view of the joy that was set before our Savior, the joy of having his own redeemed, you and me, with him in heaven, he endured the cross. So what is your view of what will bring you joy and what you are willing to do between now and then to find that joy when you get there, which we don't know when that will be? God promises that if we will be doers of the word, I suppose that could mean that we actually believe it and therefore want to obey it, that we will be blessed. I think it may be that we need to believe God more. Psalm 37:4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. I like that word, delight. Tell me, who knows the desires of your heart better than the one who created you? God has loved us with so great a love. 1 John 3:1, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons of God. Does that completely amaze you, that you are a child of God? Back to who is God? I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. I hope you are in awe of that truth. I hope it's not just something that we, that's right. So we looked at how great is your God and what he saved you from. He brought me up also out of that horrible pit. We're reading Psalm 40. Out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Now with all our great and mighty God has done to take us from death unto life by his unexplainable grace, he now just wants to have fellowship with you, his child. He wants you to come to him. He has given us his word, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. He says, I have given you all that you need. Now come. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, your fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you. Why? That your joy may be made full, may be full. There is no more powerful motivator than love, I don't believe. God has loved us with an everlasting love and wants to bless us with himself. For that's the greatest blessing we could ever receive. Knowing God, there is nothing greater of a blessing than you could receive. But love must be received for it to accomplish its meaning. I don't know, I had that thought. Maybe it's something that's, because God loves us, that's for sure. But if you don't receive it, when we are just hearers, that love is not received, and the blessing is missed. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Oh, that one always gets me. If you love me, because I want to say I love the Lord, I really do. But if I don't keep his commandments, again, I'm deceiving my own self. We have today to choose, just like the teens did, what will be our memory tomorrow. Today we can choose that. We can change the what could have been to a thankful joy for doing God's will. It's quite an amazing love that thou, my God, shouldst die for me. When we go to him and when we're doers of the word, it truly is a blessing. And I'll share a testimony of that, and I honestly don't like talking about myself, but it's a special time that I thought I wanted to share. And when we go out on Saturdays door knocking, I have door knocked an elderly lady that this was a few months ago. She was real sad because her husband was in the convalescent home, and I think at the time she'd even lost a child. So I'd gone back a few times to try to encourage her and asked, you know, what could I do? And she told me her husband was over here at Pacific Hills. So I said, I'll go visit him. Oh, she was real excited about that. So I did. So went over and visited Fred. And Fred's quite the character. This last Saturday, Brother Rob and I visited him, and I walked in. I said, hey, Fred, this is like the third visitor. So remember me? He's like, yeah, I remember. You owe me money. So, okay, I'm here to pay, right, you know, whatever it is. What do I owe you? You know, we settled on $3 or something, I don't know. But I told him, I said, you know, me coming over here, it's very expensive, so you're going to start owing me. But I had shared the plan of salvation with them, with Linda and I and Katie one night that we went over there, but he wasn't ready. But Saturday, we went and sat out in the area where people come in, which I was kind of like, oh, it's kind of distracting here, you know. But at any rate, God had a different plan, and so I asked him if I could walk him through the plan of salvation, and he said, yeah, okay. So through distractions, you know, there was, you know, people around, you know, we walked through it, and he listened. He's a very good listener after he gives me a hard time, but I asked him if he wanted to pray, and he said, yeah. So I was able to pray with him, and he accepted the Lord on Saturday. And that's the blessing, you know, because, like, well, when we go to God's Word, God wants to bless us. There may be different blessings than what you're thinking. They usually are. God's ways are not our ways, but they're better. And so he gives you a heart that wants to do those things, and you're blessed by it. We've been doing the legends in the Bible, and this last week was Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. And I wondered what gives these guys that kind of a heart and that kind of a burden, really, for people that are lost. And their love for the Lord is really what I could only conclude. But he must. It's like, I must do this. And the other thing that's amazing to me is that they seem to go through trials and difficulties. And so maybe that's a fear that some of us have. It's like, well, I don't want to go to Nicaragua. I mean, get broken into and get all this stuff. And it's like, you know, we're not understanding. We're not understanding what God has in mind for us. And so I just want to be an encouragement. That's really all it is. Encourage, exhort, plead, whatever it is. It's like at some point you say, whatever it takes. Because I just, I don't want to get to the end and go, man, why didn't I do something? And we only have today to change it, or tomorrow, hopefully, to change what we do. What we spend our time on. And I forget which preacher it was recently here that said, you know, what did you do this last week that mattered for eternity? And, you know, those kinds of questions I think are good to ask, because much of what we do, it's not going to matter. And, you know, again, it's like, man, I want to look. That's why I like that verse of Jesus, you know, for the joy that was set before him. So he was looking over here, and that gave him he's God, so I don't want to compare myself to Jesus, but when you have that goal and you're thinking, man, I'm working for that, then it can encourage you and help you to be faithful. So I hope it's helped. So let's pray. Father in heaven,